Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Back to back. Yes, yes, yes. The Titans coming off back-to-back wins. Beat the Chargers, beat the Bucks. We are here to talk about that. I appreciate you tuning in. You are now talking with TD. Live here in the studio, Calvin Smith, working the switches, hitting the buttons, making this thing happen. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We have a great show for you today. We are going to talk shop with Derrick Henry. You know, it's kind of crazy that we're 8 weeks into the season and I'm just now doing a breakdown of Derrick Henry's work. But hey, you got to do what you got to do. And this week, what we had to do was talk about one of Henry's runs. We got Malcolm Butler talking about one of the multiple interceptions the Titans defense was able to get. We're going to get into it about this Panthers offense and defense. A lot coming to you. But before we start to crack the shell and dig deep and get dirty, what I need you guys to do is make sure you subscribe. Talking with TD, we're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, you name it, we're there. Just make sure you go ahead and subscribe. And I wouldn't mind a 5-star rating, too. I kind of feel like I'm at church, right? We like the kind that jingles, but rather the kind that folds. Talking about the donation. If you didn't see Coming to America, make sure you go see that movie, too. But let's get back on course. As I said, definitely make sure you subscribe. The Titans are on the road. They'll be back. I believe it's next week. They'll be back home. You know where to get the tickets, TennesseeTickets.com. Guess what, folks? You do not have to pay any extra fees. The only fee you pay is the fee that it costs to buy the tickets. There are a lot of ticket sites out there that won't give you that courtesy. Tennessee Tickets will. So make sure you support local business. Go ahead and do that. That's not just for the Titans. You could get Predator tickets as well. So let's look at this game. I tell you what, man, the Bucks, you know, they put up a good fight, I have to say. But when you look at what the Titans were able to do offensively, it was tough. It was tough sledding, right? The first play of the game against a team that's given up 68 yards rushing per game, that's tops in the league, Arthur Smith. He caught a run play. I love running the football. Trust me. But for me, you know, to quote the great Vince Denham, I can't pronounce his name, but you could get him on YouTube. That's mind-boggling. It really is. You know, I'm working play action. I'm going empty. I'm doing something against that defense that's dead last against the pass. I'm trying to exploit that right from the start. But things got back on track thanks to a couple turnovers. Jameis Winston had one bounce off his face mask. A lot of people blame that on Jameis. That wasn't his fault. Ryan Jensen snapped it when he was making some type of adjustment with one of the receivers. So it wasn't really Jameis being Jameis, which is quotation marks. That's what a lot of these people say. But either way, the Titans got the ball in the red zone. And then they got the ball in the red zone again thanks to Malcolm Butler getting an interception return. He's going to break that one down for us later in the show. But they had a couple opportunities to get the ball in the red zone. They didn't have a lot of yards. And I know a lot of people, and this is, I tell you, Calvin, this is something that amazes me. They scored 27 points. 27. They only scored over 20 points before Tannehill took over. They only did it, I think, two times. They've scored over 27 points four times. This was one of them. But yet, we have off with the head of Arthur Smith tweets and social media posts. I just don't get it. The last time I checked, the most important thing to do was score points. Now, did I start this show by saying he had a mind-boggling play call? Yes. Does that mean I feel that he should be fired? No. I don't get it. I don't get it. I think at some point you have to look at the way this team has improved over the last couple weeks. You talk about stats, right? Calvin, we discussed it. With Ryan Tannehill as quarterback, this offense is now third in the NFL when it comes to touchdown percentage scored in the red zone. Tannehill and that offense was 6 for 6 in the last 2 weeks. They are now scoring a touchdown in the red zone at 66.7%. Before that, they were only very low, 25th, scoring 32.58%. So there's definitely a change, and it's not just the quarterback, right? I asked Tannehill about this. He said that it's a team effort. It's a mindset also. He said there's a certain confidence that this group has when it comes to scoring in the end zone or scoring in the red zone. I thought it was really good of Tannehill to point out, and Mike Vrabel pointed this out when I asked him about red zone effectiveness. They pointed to Jonnu Smith. By the way, there's a post on Jonnu Smith that I put on ESPN.com. Make sure you check that out. It went up Monday. It's about Jonnu Smith and the fact that he is becoming Tannehill's go-to guy. So this situation, both of them pointed to Jonnu's catch, and truth be told, it wasn't a good throw. Tannehill said it was a terrible throw because when you're running a slant as a receiver, if the ball is behind you or high, those are the two worst things. The ideal situation is top of the numbers to face mask. That's the ideal situation. This one was on the back hip. As a matter of fact, Tannehill said, I back hipped him. Right? And Jonnu still made the catch. Oh, by the way, that play came on a pretty nice design by that same guy that so many people are saying needs to be fired. I don't know. I just think he did a solid job designing some of these plays, finding ways to get tight ends the football, Jonnu specifically. So that was a really good thing. Two drives that they've put together over the last 2 weeks are probably two of the best drives this team has had this season. You had the 14-play drive that went 80-plus yards, covered, I think it was around 8 minutes against the Chargers, made the score 16-10. Then you had the drive that was 12 plays, 12 plays, 90 yards over 7 minutes. Guess what, folks? That was in the fourth quarter, and it made the score what? 27-23. Tannehill drove them to the opening, to the go-ahead touchdown. Multiple first downs on that in third down situations. I talked to Coach Vrabel about this, and he complimented Tannehill for his ability to make those checks against zero blitz. There were a couple times where zero blitz, that's all out. Everything, they were sending all of Tampa on the blitz. But Tannehill was able to make the right adjustment. And Vrabel talked about how he made it so the free rusher was the widest, the furthest away from him. And that free rusher went unblocked. But the way that he was blocked, with quotation marks, is Tannehill throwing the ball quickly to the receivers. In this case, it was Adam Humphries running the speed out. He also hit Tajay Sharp for a 5-yard gain on the first down as well. These are the things that needed to happen before. And if you guys go back to the Ravens game last year, from that game over the next 2 weeks, I really questioned Mariota's ability to check and pick up the blitzes and go hot. It wasn't happening. Tannehill in 2 games is already happening. So these are some of the differences that this guy brings to the table. I think when you look at this offense, it is much more efficient. And, you know, it's just a really good job that they've been able to, you know, go ahead and do this. But, you know, another thing that doesn't hurt is having some help from the running back. You know, Derrick Henry, I know he's only averaging, I think it's 3.8 or 3.9 yards per carry, but he is still 9th in the NFL. 0 runs of over 40 yards. You know that DH22 train will tend to go over 40 yards 2 or 3 times. So it's coming. As a matter of fact, it happened, but it was called back, Michael Pruitt. It was called back thanks to a holding call. Then it was he had another run. I don't think it would have been 40, but it would have been longer when he fumbled. And, man, that dude was really upset about that. And, hey, look, more power to him. You want to be the best you could be. He wasn't on that play. He would have gotten extra yards. But one play where he was the best that he could be was that 34-yard run. And, oh, sweet mercy. Almost a revisit. Could you imagine if he'd have taken that one 99 yards? I could hear Mike Keefe, 99 yards, touchdown Titans. That was terrible as far as my impersonation is concerned, but you get where I'm going. Well, as you guys know, I am as big of an advocate of Derrick Henry's as anyone in Nashville. So naturally, he's going to lead us off on Talking with TD this week's offensive film breakdown. Check it out.
Before we even get into it, I have to tell you, man, I've been in so many debates about your game, even dating back to Alabama, because I always get the pushback that you only are good because you're big, yeah. Right? But I feel that it's different. Yeah. I like your footwork, how your eyes and footwork matches. And this play is an example of that, so I wanted to get into that with you. Okay. So when you're on in this situation, right, yeah. And actually I want to go to this view. So when you see 45, he kind of like shifts. Like, what are you thinking when you're back deep and you're looking at this, how the defense is set up?
Well, one thing I just know I can't, you know, gotta get positive yards. I want to get, you know, don't want to fall back. Always fall forward. You know, we backed up, so you gotta get out of there as much as you can. So whenever I, you know, got in my steps and just making my read, you know, I seen the nose, you know. I kind of had push on the center, so I just, you know, look back, and I seen that the backside had push, so I just tried to let it play out and then make a read and then one cut and get it downhill. So, and when I got downhill, I seen green grass, and I was like, oh, man.
I put this part in slow motion because this is precisely what I'm talking about. Where, because it was like a move on top of a move.
Yeah.
You know, normally don't see someone your size doing that.
Yeah.
So what's behind that? Like, how did you develop that ability? Because you know you cut it back and then you cut it back again the other direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Tell the truth, I don't know. I just whenever I seen it, because I try to get. D line, I seen he was like trying to play me, so I kind of like tried to step like I was gonna go get him play out, and then cut back in, and it kind of it worked out. Cause if you see he already got him to go back, and then squeeze through
like
the whole
kinda like kinda
like, yeah, rock him, and then got it back through there. So you know, credit to those guys. I just had to go out there and just put my own flavor on it. You know, it worked out for us.
Is that something, I know you don't pay attention to what people say about your game, but is that something that you've come across where people just kind of take you for a big back and they don't understand or realize that your feet and your eyes are one like that in this play?
Yeah, I mean, when people say like that, you know, I just, you know, take it with a grain of salt, you know, let it fuel me, you know, because, you know, I know my game and I know how I play, you know. I know I haven't, you know, been doing, you know, what, you know, a lot of guys, you know, like Eric Dickerson, I had a career starting off like those guys had, but like I told you earlier, I'm a grounder, so you just got to stick with it, you know, just keep playing my game, even though things don't go where you want them to, you know what I mean, they're not going to end the way you want them to, so just got to stick with it, you know, trust God, playing, just keep working, that's all I got to do, guys.
So that was Derrick Henry just kind of breaking things down, and here's the thing, when you look at a guy his size, he's not supposed to have the footwork like that. But he does have it, and that's something that, you know, he doesn't get enough credit for. I personally think that, you know, it's a very unique blend of skills that he has, and it's one of the reasons why he's such a hard guy to bring down. And, in fact, if you look at it, when teams use eight in the box, he tends to have some of his better runs. I want to also look at this Panthers defense, right? They will at times use eight in the box. They're going to do that. You have Luke Kuechly, who you talk about someone who is dialed in. Tannehill said it on Wednesday. He said, when asked about Luke Kuechly, he said that he's a guy that he's seen literally calling plays out, where they're going to go, what the play is, what's going to happen before they even snap the ball. That's something that's really outstanding. And it just comes from preparation. They've done multiple specials on him and the film study that he does. And then you have Shaq Thompson playing beside him, a guy who plays safety and LB at University of Washington. That's a nice tandem that they have. You have Eric Reed, who comes down in the box also, who is a very good player. And they do a lot of single post looks with Trey Boston as safety. But then when you look at their defense, I've seen a lot of cover two looks. They like to work cover two. They'll roll that into cover three. They'll sometimes have the corners line up, you know, in a cover two look where they're going to funnel the receiver inside, but they'll drop back into quarters. So there's different things that you'll see that defense do. Up front, man, listen, Spider-Man, that's what he calls himself. Brian Burns, he's a guy that is a force. Mario Addison, Gerald McCoy, they're a legit team. That defense is legit. But the guy calling all of those shots is Ron Rivera. And I want to just kind of circle back to Derrick Henry because he had an interesting quote on the conference call when I asked him about Derrick Henry and his unique skill set. Check this out.
Only the special ones, dude. Special. I mean, he is a big back. He's a big physical runner. He's got good feet. Got good vision too. And I tell you, he's a load. He's a good football player.
So that's Ron Rivera. You heard what he said. This dude is special. 18 carries a game is what Henry's averaging. 3.8 yards per carry. That needs to go up. We'll see what happens there. So that's a quick look at the defense. Wanted to give you just some insight from my perspective on the offense. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Corey Davis. You're talking with TD.
All right, back from the break. Super Cap. Yeah, boy. That's an old school dance hall reggaeton, whatever you want to call it, man. I used to jam to that back in the 90s, man. Time to talk about the defense, right? We broke the offense down. When you look at this defense, man, here's the deal with the defense. They continue week in and week out to cap. Man, listen, Dean Pease, you know, and I love Coach Pease because he walks around like the Penguin, right? But he has so much weight on his back from carrying this team with his play calls and his unit. But they continue to do it every week. They're always plus in the turnover part of things. And they give that team excellent field position. We talked about Malcolm Butler's interception, how that led them into one of their red zone appearances. We're going to go ahead and start things off with a breakdown from Malcolm Butler. And folks, before we get into this, let me explain something to you, right? Every once in a while, you have someone that goes someplace and blazes a trail, right? I'm not from Portland, but I'm a trailblazer. You're going to see more and more of what we do as far as play breakdowns. You're going to see that start appearing. But here's the thing, right? Often imitated, never, never, ever, 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 ever. You hear me? Never, ever duplicated. So make sure you guys remember that. Here's Malcolm Butler.
So this was the interception that you had on Jameis. What do you read in pre-snap? Like, what does this look that you have? Because you guys kind of rolled into, was it a cover four look you rolled into?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, a cover three, I believe. I got two threats on my side, so I can't just all give all my attention to one.
Right.
I have to look at two also. But at the same time, you got vision on the quarterback. That helps a lot. Because if I had my eyes on the number one, I probably would have just stayed over top of number one, let the ball hit the ground. But I had good vision. And it was a good clue third. So read 2-1 and just play with your feet and keep your eyes on the quarterback.
So it was kind of like a cover four look and then rolled into cover three for clarity.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah, got you. Now, was this an overthrow? Or what do you think happened from the offense's perspective on this?
Well, one of the D linemen tipped the ball. I don't know who it was. I think that's Casey. I think Casey tipped the ball, and that made the ball travel shorter or farther. I don't know where it would have landed if no one would have touched it. But just going to make a play, man. You know, it's hard to position to play, hard to make plays like that. So whenever the easy ones come, you got to make them, because it's tough to make plays in this league.
I know you got a little track background from high school. Any running back background?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I can get busy with the ball in my hand, but hopefully that's not the last time I see me going the opposite direction.
So that was Malcolm Butler breaking things down. I thought it was interesting, you know, because I mentioned how the Panthers, they like to give a cover two look and roll to four, sometimes roll to three. Well, that's what the Titans did in that play, and I don't know if they confused Jameis or what happened, but I didn't even realize that ball was tipped either. So that's a good tidbit from Malcolm Butler. We're going to keep this rolling and just kind of look at some of the things that, you know, from the defense. I just want to point out two players, Kenny Vaccaro. Low-key, he had an awesome game. It didn't really show up in the stat sheet, but he had a couple quarterback pressures because they were sent on the blitz. He had a pass breakup, a key one, at that on a third down to force the Bucs to punt. And then in addition to that, he had a couple hits, man. Like he was laying the wood on those running backs, especially Ronald Jones. So hat tip to Kenny Vaccaro for that. And Jayon Brown had a couple nice pass breakups. Jayon Brown is back. So now you have three really good inside linebackers in Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, and Wesley Woodyard. Definitely a shout out to them. So when you look at this Panthers offense, right? I mean, we could really just say Christian McCaffrey and stop. But we're going to go a little bit further, okay? And when you look at McCaffrey, Mike Vrabel had an interesting stat. 56% of the touches are going to Christian McCaffrey. He accounts for 46% of the offense. Man, listen, I watched a couple of games. I watched the Jaguars game. I went back and watched the Texans game. I watched the game against the Bucs also. But in that Texans game, they gave Christian, to start the game, four touches. Three carries and one pass. They keep feeding him. And at some point, you're going to get to like where you have the law of diminishing returns, right? Cameron Wake, he used the bell curve when he was talking about something else earlier in the year. I cracked up about it, but it applies to Christian McCaffrey. And that's something that I asked Ron Rivera about, because, I mean, when you have a dynamic player, you naturally want to give him the football, but you have to be careful with that. Here's what he had to say.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Is you know, everybody talks about, you know, what has he done? He's picking up where he left off from last year. He's been very solid, very steady, and he's been a heck of a playmaker. You know, he's a guy that really is I think one of the elite players in this league right now as far as the running backs go. He's a good, solid young man. Works very hard at his craft. He's a good example for his teammates. I think he's the whole package. He's the real deal, and you know, he's given us exactly what we need from him. You know, we'd love to see about, you know, trying to take a little bit off of him in terms of total plays, but we don't want to take the ball out of his hands because he is, you know, one of our more dynamic players.
So that was Rivera on McCaffrey, but you know what? There's more than just Christian McCaffrey on this offense. Okay, although he's getting a bulk of it, Kyle Allen is a quarterback that, you know, he'll take a few shots every once in a while, but most of his stuff is 10 to 15 yards. It's all rhythm passing. And they have a couple guys that you talk about. Adam Humphries giving you free yards. Well, let me tell you something. DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, these guys are running backs playing receiver, right? They're slot running backs, basically. And that's something that really needs to be taken advantage of. And that's why they hit them on screens. They hit them on quick crossing routes and those type of things. It's all about getting the ball in space. That's something that, you know, Moore did at Maryland. I loved his film, by the way, and just watching him. That dude, you talk about A.J. Brown, a yak monster. DJ Moore was one, too. And Curtis Samuel, he played positionless football at Ohio State. He was a wide receiver, a running back. He did so many things. So now you got those guys incorporated into the offense. A quick tidbit, I was at Maryland's Pro Day. And I remember watching, because North Turner was there, the Panthers OC. I remember watching him, just the way he looked at at DJ Moore, man. Like, he was just like, I'll put it to this way. My wife, it's the same way I looked at my wife. You know what I mean? Just like, oh, this is perfect. And that's how he was looking at DJ Moore. So I had no doubt in the draft when Moore was there, they were going to take him. But it's all about just, you got to disrupt it. I mentioned everything being timing with Kyle Allen. The Titans are fortunate they have no Cam. They're not facing Cam. But the secret to going against Kyle Allen really is to have that, you want to get that push on the inside. Jarrell Casey didn't practice on Wednesday. Let's see what happens the rest of the week. He's a key part. Jeffrey Simmons is a key part. You want to get those guys getting that inside push. Cam Wake, Sharif Finch was a full participant in practice. That could be a good sign for the Titans, but you want those guys and Harold Landry, you want them getting that outside rush, making Kyle Allen step up in the pocket. But with him trying to step up, you got that interior rush. Now, what all that has to be married along with is disruption on the outside. Get up and jam those guys. Disrupt the time and make Kyle Allen have to go through his reads. You're going to get sacks. So that's how I look at going against this this offense. Before we go to a break, I'm going to take this opportunity to remind you to subscribe to the trailblazing podcast called Talking with TD. Here we go, folks. We are the only ones who truly give you an actual breakdown with a player. Again, it is imitated, but it is not duplicated. Search Talking with TD on iTunes and Spotify, as well as Google Podcasts. Give the 5-star rating to the trailblazing Talking with TD, who really breaks film down with players. Rate, review, subscribe. I appreciate it. We will be right back from the break.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
Yes, y'all. All right, Talking with TD is back. As you see, I'm in the studio grooving. It's time for Calvin's Corner. Once again, we got that super cat rolling. Calvin, what's up, man? What do we have this week, man? I look forward to this segment all the time. What's going on?
Well, in the first segment, this isn't what I was originally going to get to, but this is something that I feel like has to be addressed. And Teron, it's pretty well known that I am not a big fan of running the football, right?
Check. Check.
I like to throw the ball. And you mentioned in the first segment, Derrick Henry only has about 3.8 yards per carry this season. And normally when talking about the run game, one thing I try to refrain from doing is talk about yards per attempt. Mm-hmm. I will mention it, especially in comparison to the passing game, but I'm not, especially in the last 6 months, have not been a big fan of using yards per attempt as a way of measuring running backs.
Right.
Because it's largely a result of field position. And especially a running back like Derrick Henry is a guy who accounts for a ton of runs within his team's own 10-yard line. And if you're running the ball from the 10-yard line, the absolute most yards you can gain is 10. It is physically impossible to gain 11 in that scenario. So with a running back like Derrick Henry, who gets utilized not in a – I'm trying to think of how to say this – who gets utilized maybe in a specific way in the red zone, right, I mean, sometimes there's 2 yards to gain, and there's nobody better on the team to give the ball to in that situation. Maybe a QB sneak.
Right.
Like, those are the only two options I think are the most viable. So yards per attempt sometimes bugs me. And I see it on Twitter, and I see people talking about, you know, Henry and from this aspect and all this kind of stuff. And then they talk about yards per attempt and how it's not the same, and it gets compared to last year when he broke off 99. Well, there's only been one run this season where 99 yards were available for Derrick Henry to get. Right, so yards per attempt when running the football is largely a product of how much space there is on the field. And that's a line of research that's been proven pretty well throughout a lot of good studies in the NFL. So I wanted to start off with that, is that judging Derrick Henry by yards per attempt is not a fair basis.
Salute. I respect, man.
But what's a really good unit of measurement for someone like Derrick Henry is expected points added.
Okay.
And we've talked about this a little bit, especially a couple times over the summer, and I'm going to kind of transition this into the passing game now. But expected points added accounts for a lot of scenario going on. So yards gained, obviously, but down in distance, time remaining on the clock, and the yard line, things like that are accounted for in EPA. That's a much better way to evaluate Derrick Henry, and that does paint a much more positive picture of Derrick Henry as a running back. But when
I like
you,
that.
But when you look at it in the passing game, I wanted to take a look at this really nice graph I made. I was super proud of it. You walked in as soon as I finished it, and I was having a little celebration. I get really hype when I make good graphs.
Hey, I get it, man.
But when I made this, it basically was comparing receivers on the Titans and the EPA that they get on completed passes. And one thing immediately stuck out to me. With running with receivers, people with pass catchers with more than five targets, Deion Lewis is the only Titans pass catcher to have a negative average EPA, expected points added. And for your pass catching running back to have a negative EPA, doing what he's supposed to have been brought in here to do, that's very troublesome.
Yeah.
And I would think, oh, maybe it's how they're using the running game or the running backs in the passing game. And, you know, maybe that's kind of part of it, because when Deion Lewis is on the field, you're generally expecting it to be a pass play, and it's almost become too predictable to that end. But Derrick Henry has been good for a running back in the passing game, despite, you know, he's not the shiftiest, his hands aren't the best. But, hey, I would love to see a lot more of those play-action screens to Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Because when he's on the field, what is nobody looking for?
Him to catch a pass.
Him to catch the pass. And I think that is like a great yin and yang kind of thing. So when I was looking across all these Titans receivers, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, with their sample size, are leading the way, as we'd probably expect, with a lot of high-level variance. That's good for wide receivers, meaning they have a lot of upside to their passes. That's obvious. Adam Humphries this year has been pretty contained. There's a ceiling on Adam Humphries in terms of what you're going to get out of him, but it's a pretty consistent level of where he is. And then Derrick Henry, I was very pleasantly surprised by of how many passes with positive and significantly positive EPAs he has. And why? Because I don't think a lot of people are expecting Derrick Henry to get the ball in the passing game. So this is Calvin saying, get Derrick Henry in the open field on screen passes.
Hey, you're not going to get a disagreement from me regarding that. I mean, after all, the longest passing play in the last, dating back to 2018, came where? Derrick Henry in the screen game. I'll tell you what you have to be careful not to do. And I get it. You're trying to make sure that you're not being predictable.
Mm-hmm.
But lining up in empty with Henry in the slot, or motioning him to the outside over top of the numbers with him in the slot and running routes. And I get it, because it's all about matchups. Yeah. When you have Derrick Henry in the game and you have 13 personnel in the game, anybody with half a brain is thinking run. So when you shift or you line up in empty and or motion to empty, I get it. But they did that a lot. And it's funny because so many people called out Arthur Smith for having the tight ends in the game. Never mind the fact that Firkser was 7-11, right?
Firkser, by EPA, looks really good.
Firkser was always open.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then you have Jonnu Smith winning as well.
Those two guys had incredibly high separations from next-gen stats last week. Over 4 yards for both of them,
I'm glad you brought that up, because, I mean, that's the truth, right? So my thing is, okay, I think fans were complaining about the wrong thing. I think the thing to complain about, if there's anything, you know, in those empty sets with the 13 personnel, is Henry at receiver, because he looked really uncomfortable. But it's something that he's worked on. And, hey, look, man, I respect the guy that recognizes where he's not strong and working to get better there. So it's all right. It's a work in progress.
If I'm not mistaken, was Derrick Henry running an out route on one of those, like a hard cutting route? See, that's not even Derrick Henry's strength. With the ball in his hands.
Right, right.
here's an idea, though. Derrick Henry's got straight line speed.
Yeah.
You think he could outrun someone covering him? Maybe hit him on some kind of wacky go route one time? Something like that? Or maybe a wheel route, something like that?
Yeah, I
can see that.
I think using the same type of package, that catch that Jonnu Smith had when he was about to get tattooed by Jordan Whitehead, he lined up in the wing. Firkser was outside. He ran an in-breaking route. And Jonnu Smith ran the wheel route off of that. And that's something that I would give Derrick Henry a chance to run, because, like you said, that's where you could take advantage of his speed.
He is straight line very fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good idea. I didn't even think about that. So I like that segment, man. Pro Derrick Henry. Pro. Look, I'm so surprised I can't even talk, right?
Get a playmaker in space is what I'm saying, and that's exactly what he is. With open space, the dude is incredibly difficult to bring down. So get him in open space.
He has some speed. Yeah, I like that. So definitely, like I said, we're going to end each segment on this, right? Talking with TD, make sure you subscribe, review, rate. Don't hate. Rate.
5 stars.
5 stars. For your mans and them. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Bomba Cloud, shoot up on fire, man.
Baby girl, you are loving out tonight.
Back from the break. Talking with TD. All right. Time to wrap this thing up. Before we do, we have a few things that we need to address. We're going to look at the AFC South remaining schedule. But before we do that, you know, it's been positive. Got to bring that little bit of negativity in there. Let me get that music.
Load of whips.
Yes. Blow the whistle. You know what time it is when you hear Too Short getting busy. It's time to blow the whistle, and man, oh, man. I'm going to blow the whistle on Coach Vrabel. He doubled down on it, too. There were two things that warranted having the whistle blown on him. First, it was calling that play, that fake field goal. I get it. You had the look that you wanted, and you know, it should have worked, but it didn't. Me personally, we spent all this time talking about Fripp and Derrick Henry in your segment, Calvin's Corner, and they didn't give that man the chance to get the first down for them on 4th and 2. Or just kick the field goal, man, 46 yards. He made a 51-yarder. Give that man a chance to make another one. But instead, fake field goal. As Taylor Lewan said, it looked like Brett Kern was dead. But he survived. But then here's the other part of this blow-the-whistle segment. In the post game, he said that we as the media would not have asked questions if it worked. John Glennon, if I could turn blow-the-whistle into a hat tip, I'm going to do that. And John Glennon said that's not true. Excellent point there. So that's the blow the whistle segment. Just going to take a quick look at the remaining schedule, because after all, this division is very tight, man. It's very tight. Of course, the Texans are on top, but no team is under 500, which is a really good thing and a testament to what they have going. When we look at the Texans, it's pretty interesting what they have left. They have 2 games against the Titans, of course. This week, they're at Jacksonville, so that's a little AFC South on AFC South crime. Either way, that's going to help the Titans. Whew. Then they got to go see Lamar and them. Hot dog, man. More power to you. They got the Ravens in week 11 after the bye. Then the Colts in Texas, the Patriots, then the Broncos. All those are in Houston. Then the Titans week 15. They will be here. Then they go to the Bucs. Deshaun Watson will have 500 yards passing. And then they wrap it up against the Titans at home. So that's going to be an interesting schedule for them. Just take a look at the Jaguars. Not going to give you too much analysis on it. Just going to show you what you got. Week 9, the Jaguars. Wow. Week 10, the Jaguars had the bye too. I believe the Titans had the bye week 10 as well. Week 11, they're at the Colts. Another AFC South on AFC South crime scene that'll help the folks here in Nashville. Then they come here to Nashville in week 12. They got the Bucs in Jacksonville. They have the Chargers in Jacksonville. Then they go to Oakland. They face the Raiders at Atlanta. Those are 2 winnable games. And they wrap up with the Colts. Nice situation there. As far as the Colts are concerned, how does that look? Well, let me tell you, man. They actually are at Pittsburgh this week. Then they have the Dolphins, 2 winnable games. The Jaguars week 11 in Indy, at Houston, again, at Indy against the Titans, at Tampa. Jacoby Brissett's going to have his way there. At New Orleans, I think that'll be an L. They have the Panthers in Indy. They're at Jacksonville, and that's a wrap for that one. I think it's going to be down to the wire, right? So stay tuned. Each week we will make sure we bring you the unique content that is often imitated.
never duplicate it. Play breakdowns with the players. Definitely make sure you tune in. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Rate, rate, rate. Five star, five star, five star. I am Teron Davenport for Calvin Smith. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Talking with TD, we are out. God bless. Good night.